listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. There we go. You cannot believe, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. I'm glad you're here, wherever you are, all around this planet. Thanks for being here. You cannot believe what it's like to try and fly this thing when there are people out there trying to interfere with the flight. All right. That makes it interesting, I got to tell you. That does make it interesting. That means that there is high interest in this show tonight. Somebody doesn't want you to hear it, but we're going to make sure you do. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, and especially those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and it's going to be an exciting evening. We've got these lights over Phoenix again. Not the same. You're all familiar with a very famous incident called the Phoenix Lights. This was different. I posted on my website a video right on the front page of the website of the lights we'll be talking about tonight. And these appeared on April 21. Now, I find it very interesting that this happened just a day or two after Dick Criswell over at IPUS got a report from somebody in Phoenix that he was seeing some strange things flying in the air above Phoenix. And this guy may actually have seen some strange things, but we invited him to call in. Dick Criswell gave him the message to call in. He didn't call in. And then we had these lights over Phoenix on April 21st while I was on the air. So what you're looking at in that video is something that happened while we were on the air, while I was doing the show, April 21st. That was what was up above us in Phoenix. Since then, some reports have come out in the media here that it was all just a hoax. It was some guy that hoaxed the whole thing, and we're going to get into that tonight. I've written a couple of articles about it, and I've said, well, you know, if it was a hoax, then it was stupid, and I stick by that. If it was a hoax, it was really stupid to do it for a lot of reasons, and we'll get into that tonight. But we're also going to be talking with Jeff Woolline. Jeff Woolline is an investigator and researcher into the things that fly above Phoenix. He's done quite a bit of research into that. He is actually, his research has been rather extensive. And his videos have been used in major media. They've been used in major documentaries. And he's been with us before. So we're looking forward to him being back with us. And we're looking forward to him being able to share with us a little bit about his views on this. All right. So he's going to join us here in just a moment and talk with us about what he thinks this whole thing is about. We'll be back. most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. You know, there's never been a better time for you to start your own broadcast. I know there are a lot of paranormal investigators. I know there are a lot of people who are paranormal experiencers who want to have their own broadcast. Well, now you can right here at Steel Eye Media Network. It is within your grasp. You can do it, and we're waiting to hear from you. Give us a call today at 1-800-318-1008. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
This is Charles Hall.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist Stanton Friedman.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Hardcastle.
This is Jason Martell, researcher into the ancient astronaut theory.
You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show, the number one talk show choice of many galaxies.
My guest is Jeff Woolline. He's been with us before. As I said, he has done quite extensive research into what it is that's happening in the skies above Phoenix. Now, on April the 21st, while I was on the air, we had these lights above Phoenix that you see in that video, and I think it's a pretty good video. I looked at several videos of it before I selected that one. That one is pretty clear. That one is it's not all shaky and everything. It's done well. And that's what was in the skies above Phoenix. Almost immediately, the news went around the world, more lights in the skies above Phoenix. Because of the rather spectacular Phoenix Lights event that happened back in 1997. And so now anything that shows up in the skies above Phoenix, it's strange. It makes world news. But then almost immediately after that, local news started showing a clip of a guy saying, oh, it was my next-door neighbor, and he's pointing over into the backyard next door, and he says, I saw him launch the balloons, and they had flares tied to them. And when I heard that story, I said, you know, if that's true, if that really happened, this guy that did it is really stupid. And I stand by that, as I said earlier. But then I also said, but hold the phone. It might not be that story is true. That might be the deflection story. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. And you remember I said I have a strong streak of let's wait and see-ism. Well, I've been waiting to see. I've been waiting to hear more evidence. Jeff Woolline joins us with his take on it. Jeff, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. Great to be here.
You saw on the local news here the same thing that I saw, I would imagine. You saw this guy saying it was his next-door neighbor, right?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Could not believe that.
Okay, now, why, I mean, when we look at that video, Jeff, we see that it is red and traffic flares would be red, and that was the story. The story was that he used fishing line, monofilament fishing line,
and tied these flares on balloons filled with helium and set them aflight, turned them loose and let them go. Now, traffic flares do, many of them, burn red. And so we're looking at those lights in the sky, and they're red. Why do you think that is not traffic flares?
A whole lot of reasons there, Kev. Let's go, with the way they were in the sky there, the formations that they were using. If these were balloons, it would with flares tied to it, I believe that the balloons would drift away from each other. One balloon would go away, and the other balloon would either drop higher. They wouldn't stay in formations like that. So perfect. Another reason why this could not have been flares.
Oh, by the way, let's let folks in on this bit of information. They said in the news here that the guy that did it didn't want his name to be used, so they kept him anonymous. But he claimed that he set these balloons free to fly a minute apart.
Yeah, that just wouldn't be the case here. It doesn't matter what time he would release it. They would not stay, in my opinion, they would not stay in formation together like that at the same altitude. You see, they're at the same altitude. They're not, one's not higher than the other. They're all stationary in the same altitude, in which balloons would catch that air drift, or balloons would drift in opposite directions. And would you like me to go into further?
Yeah, let's. What are some more reasons you don't think that can be flares?
Well, obviously the people videotaping that, great footage, by the way. I sure would like to get in contact with those people. That's just great footage. Obviously, they didn't believe it was flares. And looking down at the ground at it, you know, I'm sure that they would see, you know, something tied to it. I'm sure that they'd see the balloon. Another reason, if these things were tied to balloons, flares and balloons, in my opinion, the flare would either pop that balloon eventually, or simply burn up the string, or simply as it's tied in the middle, as the string is tied in the middle, it would swing. It would swing from the balloon. That's another dead giveaway. These lights are stationary, and they're not swinging around on anything stationary in the sky. You see what I'm saying? These flares would swing. Also, as it got down to the string or the fishing line, it would get down to the middle, and the flare would either burn that fishing line, and the flare would drop out of the sky. You see, there's a lot of reasons on how this flare bit just won't hold.
Well, we have in the audience, no doubt, a lot of people who have been fishing. Now, I used to be a very ardent fisherman. Now, I don't do anything much except a talk show. This is pretty much all I do, as you know. But I used to go fishing all the time. When I lived in Louisiana, I went fishing several times per week. Worked a full-time job, but still went fishing several times per week. Now, sometimes you get out and you need to cut your fishing line, you need to tie on a new lure or whatever, and I don't have my knife with me, or I sometimes use nail clippers for that. So what can I do? Well, you strike a match, and you just get close to the line. You don't even have to really touch it. It's very, very heat sensitive.
Right.
And where that heat touches the line, poof, it just comes apart. So if we use monofilament fishing line, as the story goes, you would not even have to, the flare would not even have to burn all the way to the line. Just get close enough for that heat to be on the line.
Correct.
And you would then have a falling flare. And that flare would burn, continue to burn, all the way to the ground.
Absolutely.
And people would see that. Okay, now, we live out here in the Phoenix area, and you're out here, I'm out here, and I think there's no one who's ever been to Phoenix that has any doubt about what I'm about to say. There's not a time during the year when Phoenix is not flammable. It's a desert. And even after we have had what for us is a lot of rain, within, you know, just a few hours, things are dry and crispy again. It is a desert. The water dissipates almost as fast as it falls. So, and we are in the time of year when we really, really, really have to watch for these wildfires. It would be reckless endangerment, and Jeff, I want to get your take on this. It would be reckless endangerment to set flares afloat in the sky with monofilament fishing line holding them, because when they burn that line, and they will do it, once you light a flare, they usually are, you can buy a 5 minute, a 2 minute, a 5, a 10, and a 20 minute flare, I believe. All right, but when it finally burns down close enough for that heat to touch that line, you're going to have a falling flare. It will fall all the way to the ground and very likely will continue to burn once it hits the ground. That would be reckless endangerment, doing that up over the desert.
Yeah, correct. You know, that's exactly like fireworks. There's a no firework law out here. So, in my opinion, that coincides with fireworks.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I agree. And in fact, it's even more dangerous than fireworks, because these traffic flares will continue to, you know, their fuel is internal. They continue to burn under all kinds of circumstances. Even in a rainstorm, they will burn. Now, what really interested me, Jeff, was when the news out here reported that the police had no plans to investigate.
Yeah, I thought that was a little fishy myself. You know, if it was me, I'd be all over that. I'd be, you know, doing a citizen's arrest, or I'd be doing some kind of a ticket or something, because next thing we know, we're going to have a bunch of people lighting off flares and catching houses on fire.
You know, I hadn't even thought about that, but there are some real knuckle-draggers that would just try to copy that.
Sure, yes, and I expect that as months to come. So it'd be real shocking if we don't see a house catching on fire because of it.
Yeah, it would seem to me
that... They're giving the idea in people's heads, you know.
Yeah, it would... it would seem to me that here we have a situation where there are two or three laws in play that if that's flares and they've been set aloft in the manner that was described by the media, then you've got a crime.
Right.
And when you've got the police saying, well, we don't have any plans to investigate that. You know what that says to me? It says to me, the only reason that a police department would say we don't plan to investigate that crime is if they already know it's beyond their ability to do so.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Now, if this was if this display of lights was actually UFOs, then it would obviously be beyond their ability to investigate it.
That's correct. That's correct.
What they could do is go ask the FAA, did you see anything on your radar? And the FAA would say, no, we didn't see anything. The FAA is forbidden. Traffic controllers are forbidden from commenting on anything they've seen on the scope.
Right, and clearly in that video, you can see an airplane going right by it. So,
yeah, you certainly can. I don't know if it's an airplane or a helicopter or whatever it was, but you can certainly see it. It's got the blinking strobe lights.
Exactly, yeah.
And, yeah, you certainly can see it.
Yeah, so if we're able to see... This is my opinion. If we're able to see that anti-collision light, we're able to see that aircraft, then certainly we should be able to see those balloons, regardless of what color they are.
Yeah, we didn't see any balloons, and traffic flares put out a lot of light. Now, I have some experience with traffic flares because I've used them as a cop.
Yeah, you would see smoke, too.
A lot of smoke.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, that it cannot be flares. And you know what? And just sitting down and looking at the footage there, Kevin, I can honestly tell you from experiences of my own, those were the lights. That was something supernatural in the skies that day.
All right. Now, a couple of more points here about the possibility that was flares. I will have to say I'm going to remain open to the possibility that those were flares. I will also say that having a lot of experience with traffic flares and with fishing line, I don't see how you could do it.
Right. You know, even I have common sense to, at least if you're going to do something that crazy, at least take it out to the desert. Come on, let's have some common sense.
Well, we're in the desert, but you mean take it out where there is no population.
Yes, exactly. Out there to the, you know, where the cacti are and stuff like that. You
know, out there in Mars. Yeah, now, and that's the point. This was right up over a populated area. Now, we've got several airports. That's another point. You turn these things loose with flares, and you can't guide where they go. They just, once you turn a balloon loose, it goes where it goes. All right, so they can't guide it. And so I would think this would also get into interfering with commercial aviation, interfering with private aviation.
Sure, you're exactly right.
I mean, you've got Deer Valley Airport. You've got Phoenix International, Sky Harbor, actually, International. What else is there?
Oh, well, we got all those little airports out there. We got that Deer Valley.
Yeah.
And can't think. I think you name pretty much all of them, the most of them.
And then you've got the Air Force Base.
Oh, sure. You got both of them. They're surrounding the cities out here, so...
So it looks to me like that there would be a lot of people interested in investigating and prosecuting whoever set these balloons loose with flares tied to them, if in fact that's what happened.
Right, and they should prosecute this guy to make him an example, you know, because of the danger that it causes. But yet we see no police file, we see no police arrest, and the guy, you know, that we got that guy on camera saying, I saw that neighbor doing it over there, you know, well, we need to get on this case here.
Neither one of these guys have been answering their telephones.
Oh, that's another fishy thing, you see? So...
Well, you know, I think really the big issue and the big point here that really screams to me to back off and say, you know what, this whole story about it being a hoax may itself be a hoax. The thing that just stands up and screams is no investigation. And there are a pile of reasons, lots of big reasons why you would do an investigation.
You know, something else that just came to my mind, if this guy is doing the balloons, then he must have made it all the way to Florida at the same night, because didn't Florida and a few other cities here in the United States have a sighting, too, that night?
You know, I don't know.
I think they did, yeah, Florida.
Maybe
yeah.
Someone who, maybe I don't know, but maybe somebody that's listening saw them elsewhere and can call us and tell us.
Yeah, Linda Moulton Howe was talking about it, strange lights in the United States. So Phoenix wasn't the only one. Right after I saw that on the news, I heard that Florida had a sighting too. So, and about a few days later, I heard it wasn't just Florida and Phoenix, it was a few other cities, too. So, I mean, this guy must have got around.
Well, yes, indeed. Now, I wonder if there's somebody in Florida that's saying, oh, I did it with balloons.
I don't know. You know, I haven't heard any reports on that. I mean, I heard it, follow-ups on it or anything like that. So, So far, the story has been concentrated in Phoenix, when in fact, it wasn't Phoenix. It was like at least five other cities. So
you're not buying the flare story at all?
Absolutely not. In studying that, I can tell. I mean, personal experiences from seeing these lights. That was the real deal. That was something up there that night. That wasn't flares. That wasn't balloons or anything like that. That wasn't man-made. That was something that's beyond our capabilities here.
Well, here's another thing. If you watch that video, we've got a break coming up here in about 2.5 minutes. If you watch that video that I put on my website, you can see where at one point three of these lights hold their position,
yeah,
but one of the lights moves right close to and right next to
another one. Yes, that was wonderful. It kind of looked like a barbell out there, didn't it, there?
Well, I don't know if it looked like a barbell. I could just see the lights.
Yeah, the two lights close together there.
Yeah. But I have seen that barbell you're talking about. It's a UFO of some kind that's shaped like a barbell.
Right.
I've seen that over Phoenix.
Right.
And, in fact, that's the one that I saw that I talked to you about, you know, the first time we talked. And
yep.
you had filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
You had videotaped it.
I've seen many barbells,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. At nighttime, too, Kevin. Those things, they look neat at nighttime.
Yeah, well... I think if it was balloons and you have one of them moving significantly like this, whatever's moving it would be moving all the balloons.
That's correct. And you know what? If they got that close together, the balloons would tingle up. They'd tingle up, and we'd have two balloons, you know, with two flares, and it'd just be swinging around everywhere and throwing smoke and fire.
Yeah, I fully agree. Yeah, so, Jeff... If this is not flares, and I find it difficult to buy the flare story after I think about it, after I've thought about it, I find it difficult to buy that flare story because of everything we've talked about. I mean, the monofilament line alone is enough to say, no, that's not how it could. You could not do it that way. You might could do it with wires. But you couldn't do it with monofilament fishing line.
Right.
Okay. So that's one thing. And then no investigation after many laws are broken and many, many safety issues arise because of the many airports in the area.
Yeah.
And no investigation. All of that stands up and screams, this ain't flares.
Right.
All right. But having said that, And we've got a break looming, but having said that, the question that comes to mind then is, what was it? And this is obviously not one giant craft. This is obviously these lights are moving independently of each other, and at least one of them appears to move with some intelligence. It moves right up next to one and then it backs away from it after a while. They form a diamond shape. They form a triangular shape. Then they form that classic that we've been seeing where you have the triangle, the three, and then you've got one trailing behind.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, when we come back from this break, I want us to get into what could it be, all right? So we'll be back, folks, right after this break and more with Jeff Woolline. These lights, not flares.
Settling down. with all the memories, what they've found. Hey, 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 it's another fine day in the land of milk and honey. What's that you say? You've got a pay to play. At least you're saying something. Rise and shine. Whatever gets you through the night. Ooh, you might get lucky. What's that you say? It's another fine day.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet?
No?
Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. And welcome back. We're talking with Jeff Woolline, and we're talking about these lights above Phoenix that happened on April the 21st. Jeff, what are they?
Wow. Ready?
I don't know. We'll find out.
In studying this stuff for so many years, and personally watching and videotaping these things, there's a lot to go over. Witnesses say, let's get back to the sighting here. Witnesses say that they seem to be merging up. They seem to be going up. You know, well, I kind of hate to go this, but they would go and fly with the flare story. But if that's the case, if those things are rising up, my opinion is they're coming out from an energy spot there. In studying the rock out here in Phoenix, Arizona, these things hold a past. According to the Indian legends out here, these things have always been with us. This is their home. These things actually reside in the mountains there. We have spirals. We have carvings of spirals, and it represents doorways for these spirit beings. Some of these spirals up here is a natural watering tank, but when we see these spirals and there's a creature or a guy coming out of this spiral, it represents a doorway for these creatures. So in my opinion, and the reason why these things is emerging up is because they're coming up out of that energy spot. In 2004, when I was studying the lights all summer, I noticed they were hanging over, right over a power plant there in Ahwatukee. In my opinion...
Let me say for our audience, Ahwatukee is the name of a subdivision suburb, sort of Phoenix.
That's correct.
It's on the southeast side of Phoenix.
Yes, that's correct. That's very important because it is on the east side. I've done some investigation on what used to be there back in the Holocom day. There was a village out there. I came across a 1934 map, and they documented all the irrigation canals and all the Holocom sites there. And right where that power plant sits today was an Indian village. So the Indians were living right there where those lights used to hang out at.
On your new website, you've got a video of a black helicopter patrolling very close to the ground all around South Mountain. What was going on there?
In my opinion, there is somebody that's on top of this. Someone's watching this way before I came around. In my opinion, they knew exactly where all these so-called doors are. It took me a year and a half simply watching the mountain out there and either watching one of those objects leave or one come down. And when it would do that, I'd go out right to that spot, and here I would find a spiral talking about pretty much what I saw, either seeing the same sighting with a guy looking up at a diamond or, you know, some kind of reference point to a doorway. Now, this took me at least a year and a half to watch at least where, like, six of these doors are, you know, simply having a lot of patience and watching, and here it comes, and then you go out there and investigate. Well, this helicopter one day, he went to all those doors, and it was like he went to three times. If you notice on that, he goes right to this crack high up on the mountain. That is the exact same spot where that flying humanoid red dragon looking thing came out of the mountain and came and saw my son and I right over the apartment complex. That's the exact same spot. Now, how did he know that was there? The only person that knew where that spot was me and the camera. And even then, my eyes saw that thing leave the mountain, come out of the mountain. But by the time the camera got all ready to go, that thing was already in the sky. But yet this helicopter went right to that area, right where I saw it go. How did he know? You see, there's a lot of times, oh, you know what, when that thing was up in the air, if you listen on the video, I don't show it, I'm concentrated on this thing in the sky there, but if you listen, there's two airplanes that start to come around. There is somebody out there monitoring what's happening out there, and I'm kind of glad they are. At least I know I'm not the only one. I just wish they'd come forward with this.
You also, Jeff, have on your website a video of the Phoenix City archaeologist.
Correct.
And he's commenting about your sightings, right?
Right, yes. You know, and through all the years I've been doing studies on UFOs and things, I've never once seen a city archaeologist come out and talk about UFOs, so I thought that was pretty incredible in itself.
Share with
that was historical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Share with the audience a little bit about what he says.
Well, you know, at the time, I was pretty much, you know, pretty much fresh and new into this. You know, I'm studying it, I'm learning, you know, so at the time, I'm thinking like, you know, everyone else is thinking, these things are from outer space. They come from Mars, they come from Venus, they come from Planet X, you know. But, and that's what I was thinking. I was, you know, trying to explain my story, you know, these things, you know, have come from somewhere else. And you know, but at the time, he was kind of arguing that he says that this wasn't outer space, that this was inner space. And I'm like thinking, you know what, that was, to me, that was like kind of a code. And you know what, he was right. These things are inner space. That's what I said earlier. This is their home. They have always been here. It's not outer space, in my opinion, and studying them, this is where these things live. Now, it doesn't surprise me if they might go to the sun, and the petroglyphs kind of show this, you know, these things going into the sun, or maybe even to another planet. But in my studying this stuff, my opinion, this is their home, and they've always been there.
So these red lights that we see in the video that I have posted on my site, in your opinion, these are living entities.
Oh, yeah, that's great stuff. You know, whoever filmed that, that was awesome, and I applaud you. Way to go, man. Right on, and contact me if you're listening, because that's awesome. I'd love to see more of that sighting.
It's great on how they merged close together. The petroglyphs out here, they show, and I've seen some day sightings where these things, they get real close together, and all of a sudden, like this line, this magic line, can't explain it, they connect together to either form a barbell or just like a little thing in the middle or whatnot. My opinion, I think what they're doing is getting energy from back and forth from each other. You know, that red light, he went way up close to that guy. I think he was kind of taking some of his energy away from him. You know?
Or maybe giving him some, because, you know, that he goes up close to is fainter in brilliance.
That's right.
Than all the others, and seems to blink off and on every once in a while.
That's correct.
So maybe maybe what they've got is a buddy that's not feeling well.
Yes.
and so they're, you know, providing some energy.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that's, in my opinion, these things feed off the energy. So I believe that, you know, the reason why they got close to each other is, you know, to absorb each other's energies, to possibly help each other along there. These things are living creatures, okay? It's not some giant craft out there. Each light you see out there is a creature, is a supernatural being. And in my opinion, they're very intelligent. They know who's looking and who's not looking, and that's the thing.
Let's talk about who's looking here. One of the things that I haven't heard or seen is an account of the disappearance of these lights. What happened? Did they just blink out, or did they fly away rapidly? What happened to them?
Well, the witnesses say that they there was some guys that took photographs of it right before they blinked out. So they all blinked out simultaneously, one after the other. So that's basically what had happened there.
All right, so when you say one after the other, how much time between each one?
You know, I just don't know without seeing the video, but that's what the witnesses say. The witnesses said that they faded out, you know, pretty much together, not at the same time, but, you know, more or less, one right after the other.
Well, you see, if you light these flares a minute apart and let them fly into the air a minute apart, they'll blink out a minute apart, because flares are timed. Flares have only, like, if you get a 10-minute flare, you're going to get 10 minutes out of it.
That's correct.
And so there would be, if he did it a minute apart, as they say, then they would disappear a minute apart.
That's right.
And the witnesses are not talking about it that way. They're talking about it, if I understand you, they're saying it was pretty rapidly. They blinked out, one blinked out, then the next, then the next, then the next.
Yes, that's what the witnesses are saying. Interesting, you know, on my new website, Seeing UFOs Over Phoenix, I videotaped something. I was out there filming my one of my videos out there, and one came and saw us, and it's a day shot of the light. It looked exactly like what those witnesses saw, but during the day. It was a white thing, and it kind of looks like a cookie up there. Flew right over the hills. Some hikers came up on us, don't even know these people. Some family was walking, and my son and I is videotaping this thing. He's going right over the mountain there, and they come walking up. They say hi, and I said, hi. I said, can you do me a favor? Can you tell me what that little thing is up there? So they stopped and watched it for a little while, and one lady was like, well, maybe it's a weather balloon going in a straight line, you know? My son's like, well, no, the wind's kind of going against it, you know? They left, you know, not knowing what it was, you know? So, and we watched it as it kind of went through the hills, and it got away from us there. But it looked exactly like the lights, except during the day.
Hmm. Okay. So did they saw it?
I'm sorry?
So this family of hikers saw the thing?
Oh, yeah. It's on my website, S-E-E-N, Seen UFOs Over Phoenix.com. And it's the new sightings. It says Hikers Look Up. And pretty much my son and I were watching this thing, and some people we don't even know, they just walk up on us, so I get their opinion on it. It's what I've been waiting for like at least a year or so. I need someone else to see this, you know, so we finally got it. We got him, and he didn't want to be on camera. I kind of turned my camera over to him, you know, and got him looking up at it, you know, and then I got him walking away, but clearly they
okay,
didn't.
Jeff, I hate to do it. We're into a break. So, folks, we'll be back more with Jeff Woolline in just a moment. Don't go away.
And love, I believe in you. I believe when you hear the wind, you know I'm whispering to you. I believe we were made for each other, and by a gift we were brought together. I believe in love, I believe in you. Trust in faith, the strength of love, the trust in
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
We're talking with Jeff Woolline, and we'll bring him back on the line in just a moment. Just quickly, let me tell you, we get a lot of email where people say, well, you know, what's in the K-Pods? You talk about the K-Pods all the time. What's in there? So there, if you scroll down the page, under the little blurb about tonight's show, you'll see a little article that says, what's in the K-Pods? And there's a link where you can see the list of what's in there, all right? And if you've got an iPod or one of those types of things, you can download directly because it is an RSS feed, all right? All right, Jeff.
We're talking about these red lights, and we're already beginning to get flash messages from our listeners outside of the United States about this. And we'll get into those a little bit later. But I can tell you, the impression that people have from watching that video, based on what I'm seeing in our flash messages, is that this is not flares. Okay, nobody's buying the flare thing. Now, if you think it is flares, then when we open the phone lines a little bit later, if you think it is flares, I'd like for you to call and explain to us why. We're not going to attack you for that. I'd like to know why you think it's flares. If you truly believe that it is flares, I have some questions having to do with the physics of it. All right? How did How did they do that without the flares burning the monofilament line and then crashing to the ground still burning? I'd like to know that. So maybe you know. And if you do, I'd like for you to call and tell us. But we'll do, not right now. Don't call right now. The phone line's already lighting up. Don't call right now. We'll do that in the second hour. All right? Now, and that's what, 9 minutes away. So hang on. All right. Now, Jeff, it's your opinion that these things that we see in the skies above Phoenix, at least many of them, are living entities. And you've taken a lot of flack for that. And you've taken a lot of flack. In fact, you've taken flack from a... we're not going to get into this much, but just you've taken flack from someone who has now admitted he's hoaxed some UFO videos.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Well, it's odd. It's just odd. So, yeah. But you're taking flack for saying that you think these are living entities, and you're sticking to your guns here.
That's correct. Until the day I die, Kevin, I've seen it. I spent years out there watching those things, and I can tell you, they're alive. They're creatures. I don't know how to explain this. This isn't a little green guy in a spaceship. This is some kind of supernatural life form. It's alive. There's absolutely no other way to explain this. That obviously they knew, Kevin. They knew what I was doing. I set out to do that. I went up there just like the Indians did, and I talked to them. And this is what I got. I can't explain it. This is it. The video should show it all. This is what I came up with.
All right. Now you've also talked with local Native Americans about what their traditions and legends say about these things, right?
That's correct, and that goes real deep, Kevin, real deep.
Okay, now what do they say about them? What do they call them?
Whew. Well, these are their spirits, you know. These are there's a lot of different opinions to these things with different tribes. That's what I've come to learn, you know, doing my investigations and my studies and things and getting other tribes' opinions and stuff. There's a lot of different opinions on what these things are. Some Indians say that this is their ancestors, you know, like reincarnated, I guess you would say. This is their ancestors in spirit form. There's some out there that would say that this is their gods or whatever. This is their angels, or you know, these are their spirits and stuff like that. But what I found in my own travels on the mountain, in my own investigations, is pretty much goes with the story that I found that, in my opinion, has been buried, that the archaeologists aren't talking about and needs to be talked about. When I went into the Phoenix Library, I got lucky. I was investigating the CCC and on their damage they did up here. Lo and behold, I found this folder, and it was the first Native American mountain watcher. And he wrote this poem. He wrote the original story through his ancestors on the original story of Phoenix, Arizona. And it goes into how these people, they feared the sun, but they didn't worship it, but there was human sacrifice going on. This was the best irrigation canal in the entire world at that time. And apparently... the story goes, a handful of wheat for a handful of gold. So people would bring in gold, and the farmers here would in turn give them wheat, and the Indians would take that gold and make idols out of them for their gods. And after, for reasons unknown, I'm still looking into this, the sacrificing stopped. And so the story is told that these things got upset and they took the people away. This goes inside with the petroglyphs on the mountain. There's petroglyphs of showing these bowl formations and these little orb formations, and this stick emerges out from them, and in some scenes they're picking people up by their heads. Now this seems to go in conclusion with the story on how, you know, these things took people away. Now, the archaeologists and the scientists, they say, well, maybe it was drought, okay? Maybe it got too hot, they couldn't farm, so they just all took off. Okay, well, if that's the case, then how come they didn't take their belongings? I mean, even when I move, I take some stuff with me, but here, these people, they left all their stuff there. Another thing, we could follow their footsteps. We could follow their trace, their next village, and we could find their graves and things like that to where they went. But yet we find no trace of them anywhere. They just vanished. Not only here, but the entire world, we find the same story. And the story here at the mountain says that, you know, these things took people away. But the scientists are saying, well, maybe it was drought, or maybe it was a meteor that exploded above the atmosphere, and that kind of wiped people out. That's another theory that they're going on. Well, anyway, there were survivors of this Holocaust, and the survivors hid within the mountains of the valley here. They hid within caves and things. And the Pimas, who lived over there on the Superstition Mountains, they were witness to this, and they had an effect also. They lost some people due to this catastrophic also. But they all admitted that it was wrong to stop sacrificing. So what they did is they buried the gold. They buried the gold within the tombs here of South Mountains and all the other mountains around the valley. And they apparently some of them offered their heart to these gods, but the rest of them, they vowed never to come back into these hills, because if they did, they would have to put up with these Phoenix Lights. They would have to put up with these supernatural creatures here. So they all packed up and were headed back to Mexico.
That is an amazing story, and that's a story that I bet you most people have never heard.
Exactly, and I didn't hear this story either until I found it in the government department on the fourth floor in the Phoenix Library. There's only four flyers out of this. There's four flyers that I found, and I wasn't able to, you know, like, to take it out of the library because it is in the government office. So I made photocopies of it, and I'm sticking it up on the web, man. I'm sticking that to that story because I found the altars, and I found some of the tombs, and I found everything that man is talking about. I would agree with. And this is funny, too, because, Kevin, remember, I was talking about all this way before I even found this paper. I was telling you, Kevin, I'm finding altars, and I'm finding this, and I'm finding that. And then what happens? A year later, I accidentally find this story, and it goes with everything that I was talking about. So in my opinion, this, what's on my website, petroglyphsinthesky.com and seeingufosoverphoenix.com, that is the original story, in my opinion, to what happened to the people in Phoenix, Arizona.
Makes you wonder about that first white settler that came across, and I've mentioned this before, I've always wondered what it was that made that first white settler say, "This is it, Ma." And
yeah,
I think
that was Jack Spelling. He looked over the white tanks.
Had to be a broken wagon wheel.
Yeah, you know, he saw the ruins out there. You know what I'm finding out there, Kevin? You know, I'm finding big blocks out there that are cut in stone, like huge blocks that, you know, that you would find in pyramids of Egypt and stuff like that. It's like, how did they cut these blocks so precise and stuff, you see? Something is going on here, and it's being covered up pretty good, and that's the reason why we're talking about it today, is because it's not being talked about in the schools, and I think it should be, because it is part of our past.
Well, it's certainly part of our story. The story that you've just shared with us that I've never, ever heard before. And I got to tell you, that is a mind blower, a mind blower. All right, folks, we'll be back. And when we come back on the other side of this break, we're going to open the telephone lines at 1-800-289-1092.
call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
All right, we are back. The telephone line is open at 1-800-289-1092. It's toll-free throughout all of North America. All right. Yeah, I know. Some of you are going to write to me and tell me Mexico is in North America, too. Well, part of it is, part of it isn't. But we're talking about it's toll-free in the United States and Canada and parts of northern Mexico. It is toll-free, all right? If you live outside of that area, you can still participate by sending me a flash message. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com, all right? It's just an email, but address it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. It must be from outside the United States in order for us to read it and have our guest respond to it, all right? Also, be sure you get over to kevinsmithshow.com, our website, and subscribe to our free weekly e-zine called the K-Files e-zine. You'll see it. Just click on that ad for the K-Files e-zine. Subscribe. It's free. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. All right. Jeff Woolline is our guest, and Jeff is the Arizona State Director for IPAS, which is the International Paranormal and UFO Society, and he is their chief investigator out here. And he's talking with us about these red lights that were seen over Phoenix. You've now seen them. If you've been to my website and played the video, you now have seen them. And you can see for yourself why it doesn't appear to be flares. Could be there's an outside possibility, but I don't know. It looks to me to be pretty difficult for someone to have done that. Jeff, we have people lined up on the line, so let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dick from Lebanon, Indiana.
Yes, Dick.
I have a theory. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Great to hear from you.
I have a theory on the flare thing, okay? Let me run it by both of you here.
All right.
Okay. You know, we had the Roswell thing with the high-tech balloon. This may be a high-tech flare. What do you think?
Well, now there's a possibility of that, Dick, but what the local media is saying is this guy that went to his backyard, used helium-filled balloons, and they, and I'm quoting, traffic flares attached to the balloons with monofilament fishing line. That's what they described, and I don't think that's possible.
Nah, I don't think so either.
Of course, another thing on that.
I think that whoever tries to come up with these stories, you know, in the military, has got to be, you know, a guy that's got to be frustrated because he knows that nobody's going to believe that anyways. Now, they may have believed that back in the 50s, but they're not going to believe that today.
Yeah, but now, as far as we know, and Jeff, you correct me if you know something different. As far as we know, this story is not from the military. This story is from the local news here.
Yeah, that's what the citizens of Phoenix is reporting. You know, if this was the military, you know, I don't think that they'd do it over the houses there. That's why they have Luke Air Force Base.
Well, I guess you're right there, Jeff. But what
yeah.
I'm saying is when they do it around in my neck of the woods up here, the Air Force has to say something about what goes on.
Exactly.
Well, you know what they said here, Dick?
What's that?
It's not us.
Yeah.
I love that one. that way they don't have to tell another lie there, Kevin.
That's it.
Well, and I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate them saying, hey, you know what? Don't know what that was, but that's not us.
That's good. At least that's something.
You know, maybe they're getting smarter, Kevin. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think after the Stephenville debacle,
I think they just decided to just pull their horns in and say, it's not us. You guys figure it out. It's not us.
Well, I think they took enough heat off that. And, you know, the other thing is, it seems like that the news media is taking this more serious, and I'm really glad for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of noticed that too. Yeah. So every channel had it on there down here in Phoenix, so for at least 3 days. So yeah, they covered it pretty well. Well, you know, it'll be interesting when the next light sighting happens. What are they going to say then? And if they do say it's another guy releasing balloons, they better go after this guy and prosecute.
I'll tell you how we could solve this balloon and flare thing. I issue an open invitation to the guy who is alleged to have done this. I issue an open invitation. Do it again. I will buy the helium. I will buy the balloons and the flares. You do it again with the police watching. I want to see you do it. I want to see those flares remain aloft, and I want to see the police not investigate and prosecute.
There you go. I think that would be the answer to it. I definitely do. And let me tell the listeners something. If they haven't seen Jeff's video on the petroglyphs in the sky, they're missing out. Can they get that at your website, Jeff?
It's kind of hard to hear you, but are you asking about seeing the videos on the website?
Yeah.
Yeah, and my new website, Seeing UFOs Over Phoenix, it has a few new sightings there, too. So it's all free. All you have to do is just click play.
And there's another way they can get it. Can I tell about that, Kevin?
Sure, go ahead.
If they become a member of IPAS, we throw that in as another DVD. They get two if they join, and they'll get that one free as well.
All right, good enough. Dick, thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling, Dick.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That, of course, is Dick Criswell, who is the founder of IPAS. All right, the telephone is open at 1-800-289-1092. Maybe you saw these lights in the sky, and if you did, we'd like to hear from you. Maybe you've got a different take on this than I have, and maybe it's a different take than Jeff Woolline has. That's fine. It's a talk show. That's what we're all about. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello. It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario. How's it going, Kevin?
Outstanding.
Hello there, Jeff, fellow IPAS director up here in northeastern Ontario.
Ah, wonderful. Hi, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. First thing, I want to, you know, but I'm going to make a comment about the fact that those things are balloons.
Yeah.
Kevin, if I can steal a line from Flagellant Minds want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Horseradish.
That's not the word that was on my mind. I had to catch myself.
Horseradish. That's exactly what I want to say. And another thing, that UFO, you remember back at the end of February, the UFO sighting I had here when I was on the air?
Yes.
Well, guess what? That's exactly, one of those orbs is exactly the thing that was above here. The one, the flashing orange, red, white, like it was in that video, that's exactly what we've seen over here in Iroquois Falls. I wasn't the only one that reported that either. That's what we were seeing around here.
Did you have someone claim to set flares aloft?
Nope.
No. Okay.
No claims of that at all.
All right. Kevin, thanks for the call.
All right. I just want to let you know that's what I saw here.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
All right. 1-800-289-1092. Toll free throughout all of the United States and Canada. 1-800-289-1092. All right. We also have some flash messages that came in early in the show, and I want to get to those. One of them says, one thing to think about is this. The balloons that carried these so-called flares would have to be quite large, and there's no reflection off of the balloons.
Good point. Good point.
That is a good point. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Nathan from Phoenix.
Hello, Nathan.
Hello,
Nathan.
Sir.
Nathan, are you a first-time caller?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, well, let's give you some applause here.
Why, thank you.
All right.
Yay, we appreciate it.
How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing great, Nathan. How you doing?
Doing well. Just finished making dinner for the wife. Kevin, it's great to talk to you. I've been trying to get a hold of you, and I've been getting a fax number when I call. I can get a fax tone, so I wasn't sure if I was dialing the right number or not. But anyhow, I too have seen lights in the sky. I also seen the Phoenix lights, and when I talked to Jeff about it, there was a possibility that I had seen something entirely different. My story begins, I called in sick that night, ironically, and it was a little
Now,
you're o'clock.
Talking about the night of the original Phoenix light sighting?
Back in March 13th of 97, yes, sir.
All right.
I lived just west of Central and Dobbins.
All right.
Okay, so I was right by South Mountains, and I called in sick to go watch a boxing match. I was heading to my buddy's house on Euclid when I noticed this huge thing in the sky. I seen three, appear to be three lights. I didn't really do a light count, but I noticed it when it was coming over downtown Phoenix. Okay, the ones that were seen were more toward the East Valley, with like six, seven, maybe more lights. And anyhow, I wanted to get a better view, so I pulled over and wanted an alibi. And the guy that came out of his house, he came out with a gun ready to shoot me because I literally pulled in his yard, unfortunately. And I pointed at this guy hoping he wouldn't shoot me, and we both stood there in utter amazement. And this, whatever it was darker than the night sky, because I recall that night being, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. You could see helicopters, you could see planes, but when this thing passed over me, you couldn't hear anything. But what amazed me was the interior and the formation of lights. It was pitch black. And that went right over South Mountains.
And how large was this?
This was huge. I couldn't tell you how big it was. I thought I seen what everyone else seen, and according to Jim Delatoso, this was over a mile in length, and it was one solid object. But what I seen was something entirely different, because it went right over South Mountains. And what everyone else was seeing was seeing more toward the East Valley, I think. Because I seen a shot, from someone took a shot from Ahwatukee area, and that was, you know, it was more like in the East Valley location. But what I seen, it was really good size. It was huge. I can't give you an exact how big it was, but it was quiet, and it went not too fast, not too slow, but it was going like the same speed, but you couldn't hear anything.
And let me ask you this, how high up was it?
Maybe a couple hundred feet, my guess.
So it was very low.
It was low.
Did it go over South Mountain?
Yes, it went over South Mountains. It seemed like it went over the towers there.
Okay. Yeah, because I know that the highest part on South Mountain is just a little over 3,000 feet. So, and I remember when you contacted me, when we got together, you were telling me this story, you know, and I was trying to, I was thinking, I was like, you know what, there must have been two events then, because the videos that we see of the original Phoenix lights, those things are pretty much stationary. They just pop in, they do a formation, then they pop out. But what you're explaining is this thing was actually moving, and this thing was actually connected to something. And it was something completely, you know, kind of away from that area in a way, but it went over South Mountain, and I thought that was interesting. And when we did the tour, I took you up on that mountain, and I showed you some of the petroglyphs out there, and I showed you three orbs that were connected to a chain. And I kind of asked you, I was like, yeah, maybe could this, you know, might have been what you've seen, and I think you kind of agreed with me, did you?
Yes. Uh-huh. But, and I also recall listening to the Art Bell show. And so he had a gentleman on there that said that whatever flew over Phoenix that night and the other parts of Arizona was following vortexes. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Well, since we cannot see vortexes visually with our eyes, it would be hard for most of us, I think, to verify that. However, it would not be outside the realm of possibility, certainly. You're not the only person that I've heard talk about the South Mountain situation and the fact that it was an actual structure that flew over. an actual thing that blocked out the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that from other people as well. So,
and
you know,
cousin,
here's there's this possibility. The Phoenix lights that everyone saw may have been the decoy for maybe a small fleet of these very large craft that were flying over blacked out.
You know what? That's a good point, Kevin, because you know what? Sometimes I'll be concentrated on one object, and then there will be another object taken off somewhere up in the other direction. And that's why it's like when I do Skywatch, and I always tell people, okay, look around for others, because it could be a distraction for something else.
All right, Nathan, thank you for the call.
Thank you. You have a good evening.
All right, fascinating.
Wonderful
call, Nathan. All right, 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092, toll free.
You know, something else that I kind of want to share with you along with this story is, according to the myth, according to the story, these things is protecting the gold for the Mayans to come back and claim it. The Mayans are supposed to come back and claim this gold. Now, this goes and this gold goes inside with some of the tombs that I found out there, and also the year 2012. You know what? I'm a native here in Phoenix, and we wasn't talking about flares when I was growing up and a kid. This stuff started to happen around in 1995. So it's increasing here. Something has got them. Either upset or, you know, something has got them in an uproar or something is persuading them to come out and show themselves to us, and I think 2012 has a lot to do with it.
All right. Let's read a flash message from Australia. From Tom, it says, I don't know if they are flares, but they are definitely separate objects. Was there any reports as to which direction these lights traveled? Did they follow the direction of the air currents, or were they going against the prevailing wind?
Mm. You know, I'm not sure on that one. That's a good question.
Well, I have an answer.
Okay.
You can see it in the video.
Right.
In the video, they are traveling together. But you see one break formation and come back against the motion of the direction they're going, and it goes up next to the other one.
Are they all moving in at the same time, though? Are they moving in a direction? It was hard to tell, kind of. I don't think they were. It looked like they were kind of stationary, didn't they?
Well, it's hard to tell because you don't have any reference points in the background to see if it's moving. But you do have one moving backward toward the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they're stationary or if they're moving, you have one moving in the other direction.
Right.
So I don't think balloons do that. Maybe they do. I don't know. All right. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hi, Kevin. I know the FAA says you can't the air traffic controllers can't comment on what they've seen on radar. But would balloons? I know radar is set to reflect off of targets, and I'm just wondering if balloons would show up on radar.
No.
They wouldn't?
No.
Would flares?
Possibly, but it would be. You see, a flare is very, very small.
Yeah, it'd probably show up as a bird or something.
Maybe that. But no, I don't think these things would show up. I don't think they would have shown up on radar if, in fact, it was flares and balloons.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was. I'm just wondering if it would have.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, I just wondered.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye.
All right, thanks for the call. 1-800-289-1092. Let's see. Four skeptical friends. All right, from Germany. For our skeptical friends, could they be one of these remote-controlled flying machines maybe having flares attached to them? Well, possibly. But then again, you have to understand a traffic flare burns very hot. It is hot. And if you attach it to anything, it's going to burn what you attach it to.
Yeah, and this was silent too, and in my opinion, we'd hear the engine of any kind of small plane or anything like that, any remote control device.
All right, he says, this also from the same person in Germany. Now, for the other point of view, here is why I think Jeff might be right in saying these things are spiritual or biological beings. In the Western way of thinking, the UFO phenomenon is, of course, described as being something technologically superior to us because of the technical evolution and the way of thought. Now, when looking at this from the perspective of another part of the world, it might be something spiritual. Maybe we really are ascending into some kind of other dimension, making beings like these more visible in time to come.
Right. You know, another legend that the Indians seem to talk about is these things created us, like, you know, to worship and to do their bidding for. And apparently the first one that they made didn't work out. And apparently that was the caveman or the Neanderthal. Now, this is interesting because I found what looks like a monkey man, perfect profile of a monkey, of a Neanderthal, or of an ape man, and right above them is a mountain and a barbell coming out of the mountain. Now, apparently these Neanderthals didn't do very well, so they got rid of those and they created us.
Hmm. So what you're saying then is that they would that there were two human races.
Right. You know what? In studying this, Kevin, the Phoenix Lights and the things that we're seeing in Mexico and that I've been recording out here, and you know, these barbells and stuff, this is just the tip of the iceberg on things to come. In studying this stuff, these Indians, they're talking about a lizard person, okay? In my opinion, in studying the rock out here, these guys have yet to come out yet. There's still more. There's more things in there that has been yet to be revealed. Now, it's interesting that the archaeologists, they say, well, we don't have any evidence that the Holocom people went to war with anybody, but they failed to mention the fact that they're standing on things and they're shooting with bows and arrows in the sky at barbell creatures or, you know, flying humanoids or flying snakes, okay? They went to war, in my opinion, through the petroglyphs. They went to war with the Phoenix Lights. This, now, it gets a little bit more interesting. I'm finding another supernatural race, creatures, if you will, that has four arms. Now, when you study the Indian, the India legends on the Viamatis, they have four arms also, and they travel around in like these looking crafts or whatnot, you know? And this is what I'm finding over here. I'm finding four-arm stick figure guys that are holding poles. Now, in India, apparently, these guys, they, the good aliens, if you will, the good guys, they came down here to stop what was going on here, and they had these supernatural weapons. Now, these staffs was able to put these things back into the ground, and apparently, through the India legend, these weapons are still buried in India, waiting for these things to come back so they can to reuse them. This is the same stuff I'm finding out here on South Mountain. I'm finding these four-armed guys, and it seems like they're on the human side. They are with the humans shooting at these things in the sky with these supernatural pole weapons. This is on my website, petroglyphsinthesky.com. You can clearly see a guy with four arms, and he's holding some kind of pole. And if you notice, there's dots leading up to that humanoid. And right above it, to the right, is another guy with a bow and arrow. Okay? In my opinion, they went to war with these things. So, this is just the beginning. Not only do we have the things that are yet to come out, but we still have the good guys, I guess. There's another race that apparently was on the human side. So,
Just last week, I had on the show here Dr. Joseph Farrell, who's written a book called The Cosmic War. And he talks about these ancient texts that all talk about this war between the gods. And they use different language to describe it. But they all describe a type of technology that is unknown to us, although we do have the physics of it. And maybe that's what you've got in those petroglyphs. Maybe you've got this war of the gods.
That's it. That's right. That's right. And another point I meant to make is, if the India claims that these weapons and staffs are still buried over there, you know, my opinion is, I think the weapons and stuff is still buried here within these tombs. I still think that this stuff is still waiting for it to happen all over again. The Mayan calendar, some people think that this is, you know, that this is the end. No, this is just the beginning. It's a beginning here. It's going to start over, in my opinion.
Now, we have to take a break, but when we come back from this break, I want to dive off into that. When you say it's just the beginning, I want us to deal with the beginning of what? We'll deal with that when we come back from the break. But is it just the beginning of a whole new world? Is it just the beginning of a brave new world? What is it the beginning of? Or is it the beginning of a really horrible new world? You know, it opens up all these possibilities. It opens up the possibility that what we're looking at is the beginning of something really wonderful, or the possibility that we're looking at the beginning of something that's going to be like a nightmare here on Earth. Now, you've done a lot of research into this, Jeff, and we've talked about it. I've talked with you about it personally. We're going to talk about that here on the air here in just a moment. All right, folks, when we come back, more with Jeff Woolline and your telephone calls at 1-800-289-1092. Toll free throughout the United States and Canada. Or your flash messages, if you're outside of that area, send them to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. We'll be back.
Think to yourself.
most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
All right, we are back, and we're talking with Jeff Woolline. You have had the opportunity to see the video that's on my website, on my webpage. All you have to do is just go to kevinsmithshow.com if you haven't seen it. Go to kevinsmithshow.com and just scroll down just a little bit, and under the little blurb about tonight's show is the video, all right? And this is a very clear video of what was seen April 21st while I was right here at the microphone. That's what was going on in the sky above Phoenix. Jeff, you said that you think that this is just the beginning.
That's right.
Let me give the telephone number quickly. It's 1-800-289-1092, and that's toll-free. So there's no reason for you to not call. Just the beginning of what, Jeff?
Well, if the only reason that I can come up with on the reason why everyone is starting to see these things, why the activity in not only our Phoenix skies but around the world has been increasing, is because we're getting closer to 2012. All the planets are going to align here pretty quick, and I think something is going to happen that day. The Mayans are talking about it. They say that it's a starting over point. It's not the end, but it's just like it's going to go back. In my opinion, it's going to go back to the horse and buggy days. This is what I think is going to happen. The reason why they're not making contact yet is because we don't need them yet. The Indians talk about when they got here, they didn't know how to live in the desert, and these things came up and taught them. Well, I think we're going to have, mankind will come back to these mountains for help and guidance from these things once again. I think either the world...
And when you say, let me interrupt you just for a moment, when you say they came up out of the ground and taught them, are we talking about orbs of light coming out of the ground? Are we talking about human-looking things coming out? What are we talking about?
Well, the myth says that the lizard people, they came up out of the ground, they lost their tails to look like everybody else, and they taught the people how to survive, and when they were able to do it, they went back down into the sand world. That's the story that I found here in Phoenix, Arizona, at the Pueblo Indian Art Museum. And if that's the case, then this is the reason why I think that they haven't, you know, came down and turned themselves into a man and say, here we are yet. It's because, for a lot of reasons, if they did that now, the way the world is now, I mean, it would set all religions into heyday, for one. everything would just, it would very be hard for the public to comprehend this, to cope with this, but if we need them, like, say, the earthquake or the pulse shifts and there is no more food, there is no more water, but yet people see these Phoenix lights, and one comes down and turns himself into a man. Now, this is what the petroglyphs show. Everyone's going to need this person, and this guy's probably going to say that he's God, and this is how he's going to fool people. Because if I can go up there on this mountain, and if I can watch all these things come and go, and if I can figure out the clue here, and the secret, that means anybody else can. And I think what they want is they wanted to go back to sacrificing, they wanted to go back for us to worship them. But the way it stands now is because we can learn from the Indians' mistakes. Look what happened to the last people that dealt with the Phoenix Lights. They came up missing, okay? We're seeing the Phoenix Lights now. So what does that say about our future? Okay, that's the big secret here. This is the reason why the government isn't saying, you know, hey, these things are good and they're here to help us cure cancer, because they're not. They're not here to help us. They're here for something, in my opinion, evil.
Well, what you're saying is both interesting and not going to be popular.
That's correct. There's, you know, I find altars out here that dragons are carved on, okay? And the CCC or somebody went to the problems of sandblasting this petroglyph and trying to get it out of the way. And I didn't know the petroglyph was there until after I took a photograph and took it home and analyzed it, and then you could see the dragon. And then when you go back out there, you know what you're looking for. You can clearly see the dragon. Okay, there's a lot of dragons that are tattooed up there on that mountain, and I think it's interesting that Revelations talk about a dragon. So, in my opinion, these little dragons we're seeing now, this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's still a big dragon left in there, man.
Why do you think, now we've talked about this before, but why do you think we're seeing so much of this at Phoenix? Are there other places around the country where they're seeing this, or is this localized?
Oh, you know what? I think every spot, every mountain that has a fault line is a suspect for these creatures. I think every mountain that has a big cracks in it, and that's the secret, too. That's the Indian legend, man. These things, these spirits, they live in the cracks of the rocks. These big cracks down the side of the mountains we have here in Phoenix, that's a doorway. It's a doorway for these things for coming and going. I've seen it. I've personally witnessed these things, okay, coming and going from these cracks of these rocks. So I think the whole fault lines throughout the whole Southwest, I think any mountain that has petroglyphs on it, that's a spot, man. That's where those things come and go.
Well, you know, we're loaded with petroglyphs all over Arizona.
Yes.
We've got them all over the state.
That's it.
And they've got them down at Tucson. We've got them here. They've got them up around Flagstaff. They've got them over at Window Rock. There's petroglyphs everywhere, all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
These beings, you're saying that this is where they've always been. They came up and they helped the Indians who did not know how to live in the desert. They helped them understand how to live in the desert, helped them survive. Why would they do that and then turn around and attack them and take them away?
Well, I think part of the teachings on that was to do sacrifice. I think that was part of the, in some interpretations, you know, the land is offering its sacrifice by showing itself to them, you know, the UFOs and the gods, so the humans would inspect or incline to do their kind of, you know, sacrifice. And what more holier and what more, you know, to present to something like this than a human life form. And 9 times out of 10, you know, if the stories are true and if the altars are very small out here. So, you know, I'm thinking children. But you know what? I think the Mayans wasn't that tall either. So it could be the reasons why some of these altars are small is because maybe the Mayans out here or the people out here were tiny or small. So...
All right, now, you know, I can see that. But, I mean, we also have, here in Arizona, we have stories of giant skeletons having been found out here. There is that story, you know, about the skeletons being found in an excavation somewhere around the Grand Canyon. 12 feet tall.
Right, and you know, the petroglyphs, they show giant figures out here. They clearly show a human stick figure and another giant guy, another giant creature. And the rocks out here would suggest that somebody very big and very powerful was moving these blocks around, moving these stones around. There's a spot out here, I think it's 24th Street. You can see it on Google Earth. If you go on Google Earth and search South Mountain and zoom in on around 24th Street, right at the mountain there, you can see a big circle marker there. And in studying that, going down in there, there's a rock that has been broken in three parts and has been picked up. And this stone is huge, okay? It must weigh at least a ton. But it was picked up and it was thrown into a crevice where the petroglyphs show they used to walk up, okay? They used to walk through this little hallway to a pyramid mountain. That's another thing that I found out. All the mountains out here, the hills, if it's a pyramid formation, chances are it's a sacred spot for the Indians. And this thing is leading up into this pyramid hill. But yet, I find a big stone that has been thrown in there as if to say they don't want nobody walking through here again, or they don't want nobody coming out. Now, in Hieroglyphic Canyon, I found another stone that was very huge, and it was thrown into this spot where a spiral is, okay? Even on the east side of South Mountain, I found another rock formation with the same stone thrown in there, you know, the same exact kind of stone thrown in there, as if they don't want something to come out of there. That's the impression that I'm getting. Someone is blocking that door. Somebody big picked that thing up and put it there. That's the only conclusion that I can come up with.
So you found this in two places.
Well, you know, I mean, it's the same type of heavy rock or whatever, but you know, it's positioned just like the other formations around the rocks around the mountains. You have a split rock, and in the split rock is a spiral representing a door, but yet you find another huge boulder that has been tossed in there, as if to keep this door closed. That's my point.
Okay.
And I'm finding the same type of things all over the mountain out there. It's like somebody very strong, very powerful, picked this thing up. And if it was, like, slid down the mountain, then we would see the evidence of this big boulder sliding down the evidence.
Yeah, you'd see a big scratch mark. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. And the telephone lines are open, 1-800-289-1092. Do not go away.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We're talking with Jeff Woolline. We're talking about these Phoenix Lights. You've heard about the Phoenix Lights, the big event back in 1997. But it didn't stop then. It has continued, and they don't all look the same. So Jeff has done a lot of work, lots of work, investigating what is up. And there is a connection between those lights and the petroglyphs that are carved on the mountains right here in Phoenix, particularly South Mountain. And that's what we have been talking about. Now, we'll take one or two more calls, 1-800-289-1092. If you've been thinking, I want to call, I want to ask a question, I want to make a comment, I saw those lights, or I've looked at that video and it looks like flares to me, whatever's on your mind about this, these Phoenix lights, the telephone line is open, 1-800-289-1092. Jeff, this event, April 21st, is just kind of a continuation of what you've been videotaping, of what you've been studying, what you've been researching. Did you see anything in the formation that looked familiar to you?
Well, they were moving around pretty good up there. The lights that I was videotaping out there in 2004, they'd move, but they would move very, very slowly. In the 4th of July sighting, those things are moving around pretty good there. So, I can kind of relate to what they were seeing. This is just the beginning. We should expect to see more of them. I think this year should be a hot time to see them.
I'll tell you what's going to make me believe these are flares. You know, you have any idea?
Why don't you enlighten me?
I'll believe these are flares when the fire marshal does an investigation, or when the police do an investigation and they make an arrest.
Yeah. I'm surprised that, you know, someone hasn't gone out there and tried this already. So maybe we might see.
Well, I mean on this event, we know the address where they are said to have been launched from. That's been in the news media. The news media went out and found this guy that said, I watched the guy launch these balloons with flares. And they've already, it's not going to be hard to locate this. When they go out, when the fire marshal goes out there, does an investigation, and makes an arrest.
That's correct.
Or when the police go out there, do an investigation, and arrest the guy for having violated the fire laws.
Well, what's going to happen next time, Kevin? I mean, what are they going to say? You know, I mean, are they going to say it's balloons again? And are they going to do an investigation this time? Or, you know, it'll be real interesting when it happens again. So.
Well, you know, the Air Force came out with the Roswell thing. They came out with, it was Project Mogul.
Right.
Okay. So maybe this will be Project Knuckle Dragger.
Yeah. Project Balloon Release.
Project Knuckle Dragger. Because if these were flares, and if it was done with monofilament line and helium balloons, I see no possibility, no possibility that these flares would not have burned that monofilament line and fallen to the ground.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And they wouldn't stay in formation like that. I mean, they'd drift away from each other. And, I mean, there's so many discrepancies in that. The flare would be swinging. I mean, we'd see smoke. The people on the ground would clearly see those balloons, and like what your email listener said, that you'd see the light off the balloon. I mean, perfect example. That's perfect, man. You sure would. You should.
Here's the deal with the traffic flare. The reason traffic flares were used was to illuminate a non-illuminated traffic accident scene so that other drivers would not plow into this thing.
That's another thing. You're right. It would light up everything.
Yeah, it lights it up. It doesn't light it up like daylight, but it lights it up a lot.
Sure.
That's what they are designed to do. That's what they are used for.
That's right.
It is a very effective illumination device, and they burn very hot, and so the deal is that if these were traffic flares, as the news media reported, then these flares would have been putting out a whole lot of light, 360 degrees around them.
Correct.
So I can't see it. I don't think it's traffic flares. It was not monofilament line. It was not helium balloons. However, I'll back off of that, and I will come out and admit I was wrong. If the fire marshal goes out, does an investigation, and arrests this guy, or if the police do.
Right. If there's some kind of criminal investigation going on, right. But
not just that. They got to book him.
He's
a... Apparently, according to the news media, he has admitted doing it. So if they go out there and book this guy, then I'll back off of it and say, all right, it's not a hoax story. I don't think these red lights were hoaxed, but I think the story is a hoax.
Right.
I do. I'm pretty well convinced of that. Now, again, people who listen to this show know that if I get it wrong, I'll come on this show and tell you. But I don't think we're wrong about this. I don't think this was traffic flares. I don't think it was helium balloons. And I don't believe this guy launched them from his backyard 1 minute apart.
Yeah. I can tell you, first-hand experiences with those things, and that was the real deal. That wasn't flares on a balloon. That was them. That was the creatures. That was the lights.
All right. We've only got about a couple of minutes left here. What do you think is the purpose? What's the message? Why were they up there?
I just think to let us know that, we're... To wake us up, man, because more is coming. There's a lot more, like I said, in dormant, waiting to come out. And as the years progress and as things move along and as the world changes, so will the sightings in the sky. We should see an increase of activity with these things. And, you know, the public really should be aware and get ready for this.
Well, it's one thing to be aware, but, I mean, how do you get ready? We've got 1 minute.
Well, you know, in my opinion, I think it's time to just to get ready. If you believe in God, do a lot of praying and have a lot of faith, and let's hope that we're all wrong.
Jeff, I want to thank you for being with us. It's been a fascinating show, and as always with you. Tell us your new email address. Your new web address.
Well, my new website, it's Seen UFOs Over Phoenix, S-E-E-N, UFOs with an S over Phoenix.com. And I have a few new sightings up there, and I'll be putting new sightings as days go along. So keep checking.
All right. I've been up to your website, to the new one. I've looked at some of the videos. Very, very, very well done. I'll tell you, folks, go over and take a look at it. SeenUFOsOverPhoenix.com. All right. S-E-E-N U-F-O-S OverPhoenix.com.
Yeah, we even got some hikers there that are seeing these things, too, so I got them on video.
Outstanding. Jeff, thanks for being with me. Stay on the line with me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap.
You know, if you miss a single second of any of the Kevin Smith shows, you're going to miss a universe of information. Well, you make up your own mind. The video is there. Take a look at it. See if you think that's traffic flares on helium balloons. Hard for me to buy. All right, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.